How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
We have been doing the purpose-driven life. This is the last section of review. I have mixed feelings about it, but I'm going to do something a little off tonight. The main ending was made for a mission. And I sat down today to prepare it, and I decided, everybody's already read the book. I don't need to say anything that's in the book. You already read the book, so I'm going to do my own thing tonight. Is that okay? It's easier for me. You may want to write some scriptures down and some notes about this, but I'm going to talk about mission for a couple of moments. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the privilege of assembling around most important thing in the universe, your personhood. And around the most important subjects in the universe, your word. So thank you. Because we're gathered tonight with some of the most important people in the universe, because they are those who will never die. In this room tonight, I gather with people who will live forever. Because you said you are the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in you would never die. So this is an eternal moment. A meeting of eternal people around eternal subjects, serving you who are the eternal God. So this meeting is really important. We don't gather for the trivialities. This is big stuff. These are big people, saved by a big God. You've given us plain commandment that we should exhort one another daily, so much the more as we see the day approaching. So we have committed ourselves not just to be here tonight, but to participate with you in eternity. Not then, but now. Because this is a better place to be right now than heaven. Because once we go to heaven, we cannot harm Satan's kingdom. And once we go to heaven, we cannot advance the kingdom of God. So what we do here is of significance. I thank you for this people who recognize significance. Bless them now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to talk about four things tonight. The first thing is a master. Everybody is mastered by something. Some are mastered by someone. Everybody is mastered by something. The important thing is that as young as possible, we should choose the right master. And how do we know who our master is? It is the one to whom we yield ourselves. That's who the master is. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves as a servant to obey, his servant you are whom ye obey. Greatest thing a young man can ever do is to settle at the youngest age possible. To settle with finality who he's going to serve the rest of his life. Every young girl needs to discover a master. And when they make Jesus master, then every decision into the future is affected by the master. Without Christ as master at a young age, we get older, and then if we discover him as master, as hopefully we do, we got a lot of backtracking to do. But it's important that in the training of our young men and our young women, that we clearly let them know the implications of having him as master. It's to whom they yield themselves. It's the one for whom we live. If a man purges himself, and the verses before that refer to some vile things, some of them silly things, he shall be a vessel, a body unto honor, sanctified, that means set apart, and meet for the master's use. And look at this now. Because of this, he will be prepared for every good work. So it's important to first of all have a master. He is the one who we exemplify. This is a wonderful scripture. It is enough. I like this. It is enough. It's sufficient for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If he is master, he is master to the core of our being. He is master to the characteristics of our lives, and our lives resemble him because he is the master. The master's hand leaves nothing untouched. And he's the one that can move into the quiet place, the invisible place, the depths of the heart. And we let him. Because he's a master that you can trust. And if we fully let the potter have his way with the clay, this vessel will be usable. It will be prepared for every good work that comes. Important of making him master. And then it's the one to whom we give an account. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. There's one wonderful thing about shutting people up to their accountability to the Lord. And that is that if he falls, his master shall help get him back up again. If the master is the Lord. And God, for God is able to make him stand. So what a wonderful master that is, but Every life must begin with a master. Then secondly, everyone needs a mate. Now, I hardly ever preach like this, where I got, you know, the three P's in a pod, everything starts with P. Well, they're all starting with M tonight, and that's not my style, but here it is. A master and a mate. Next to choosing your master, choosing your mate is the most important task. Now, there are exceptions to the rule, but the exceptions prove the rule, see? And there are times when people perhaps should be single. Everybody should be single at certain times, but once they have a mate, it is now then determined. There are some missions that require an absence of a mate because they are dangerous or because they require so much a totality of devotion that there wouldn't be proper time to serve the mate. But in the main, God made it very plain. It is not good that a man should be alone. This is not my idea. This is God's idea. Wherever a man has the master, whenever, wherever, whoever has Jesus as his master, the Lord, you can expect the Lord to make a helpmate for him. And so look at this. It's not good for a man to be alone. I will make for him helpmate. It is God's task to make your mate. If he's working on you and he is really your master, you can count on the fact that the master, that God, is working somewhere else on a mate for you. I suggest that you don't try and make one for yourself. Usually, if you are a he, then she won't let you make her what she's to become. So give it up now. It's not your job. It's God's job and her father's job and nobody else's. I have met in my days couples where the man was responsible for making the wife into what she was, and he soon becomes discontent with the work of his hands. Let God do what he says he will do. He knows it's not good for you to be alone, mister. And so he is committed to make the mate for you. When you meet her, she's going to come full grown, ready to pick up the task. Look at the next verse. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And I suggest every single young man does this. Forget about it. Don't take it into your hand because it's the task of the master. So God took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh. And of the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman. This is a great phrase. And the master and God brought her unto the man. You don't have to go look. If you go looking, you may well miss. Because the moment Jesus is your master, you are in a different category than all the people out there in the heathen pagan world. You live by different rule. You live by different instructions. You live by different laws. Now, if you try to bring into the kingdom of God the strategies of the kingdoms of the world, you're going to get down the wrong track. And I know most of you here already got a mate tonight, so some of what I'm telling you is for your children. Some of what I'm telling you tonight is for those with whom you'll have influence. And he brought her. If you have a master, this master, if he is master, great, the great orchestrator, he's going to prepare this woman and he's going to bring her to you. And when you see her, you will know her. And when she sees you, if you have let the master make you like himself, she'll recognize you too. You come together, two people fully developed. Marriage is not for two half cookies trying to be one whole cookie. It's for two whole cookies. Making a good dessert. It's for two whole people to come together. That's why the master thing has to come before the mate thing. A master, and then a mate. And Adam, when he saw her, said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Oh. Not on my agenda. That's a really important phrase. First, Jesus says about you. Just like the woman was taken out of the side of Adam, his bride was taken out of his side. Created, born again, made. And Jesus sees you as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's why he's called the body of Christ. She will call woman because she's taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And there shall be one flesh. Sufficient tonight, I think, for this audience, for me to say that life starts with a discovery of the master. And then because of the great intents that God has for each of us, he couples us up. And he gives a man a woman as a helper. God knows he needs a helper. And any man who doesn't think, you ought to stay away from him. He doesn't think he needs you, you ought to stay away from him. Let me mention this. Both Adam and Eve were inside the original Adam. He called them, you know what Scripture says? Adam. Called them Adam. And what he did is take their feminine side out, separated it, so that wholeness does not occur until the masculine and the feminine come back together again. And marriage is this reunifying. A man really finds his other half. Woman finds her other half. They become one. Because after a master and a mate, there are two more things. You're going to have a ministry and you're going to have a mission. And both the ministry and the mission are prefaced by master and the mate. As a general rule, there are exceptions to the rule. There are some single ministers that should be single, but they are gifted in a special way to be so. Understand the scriptures of what a eunuch is. Everybody knows what a eunuch is? Three kinds of eunuchs, three ways men become eunuchs. Number one, some are born that way. Secondly, the Bible indicates that some are made into eunuchs. Daniel was made into a eunuch. Surgery. The third kind of eunuch in the scripture is those who are what Jesus called, or scriptures call, a eunuch for the gospel. There are some who give up that aspect of humanity in order to more effectively serve the Lord. You can find that in Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But in the general, in the mainstream, in the main, God wants us to discover a master, and then he wants us to have a mate, because he's got intentions, and two are better than one, all right? And a threefold cord is not easily broken. And Jesus is always the third man in. Did you know that? Yeah. And then a ministry. Now, what I liked about the book, which was a new thought for me, and I had never heard it articulated that way before. He separates a ministry as what you do to fellow Christians, and the mission is what you do in the world. I kind of like that separation. So that's the distinguishing thing here, the difference between a ministry and a mission. Ministry is where you focus your giftings on the body of Christ and one another, and your mission, of course, is reaching out into the world. Let's talk about the ministry first. As every man hath received the gift, now watch this, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Your ministry is to one another is definitely related to your gifting. He gave gifts unto men for the rebellious also, that the Lord should dwell among us. So God has put rich deposits, giftings, into each of you. And Peter comes along and said that every one of you hath received the gift, should take the gift that you've been given and minister that gift to one another. And if you do that, watch this now, you are being a good steward of the manifold grace of God. So my question is, are you ministering to one another? Who in our grouping here among us have you ministered to this week? How many of us, how many of the others in the group have you ministered to? How many have ministered to you? The strengthening of the body of Christ is dependent upon the mix within the body. It depends upon you ministering to me and me ministering to you and you ministering to one another in almost a totally Holy Spirit-led network kind of a thing. How many in the body to which you're connected, our local group in here, how many of you ministered to this month? Ministry requires that we take our gift as good stewards and minister it to one another. This is how the body is built up. This is how it gets strengthened. This is how it becomes nourished as opposed to anemic. This is how it becomes healthy as opposed to sickly. This is how it becomes mature as opposed to naive. This is how it's built up as opposed to falling down. That we minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, if you're single, don't be alarmed. Pick up where you left off here. You got the master, you need to get the mate thing going. But if that's not, and you're in the body of Christ and you are in a single condition, and you should be at the moment, if you really should be there, then you have more time to minister your gift to the body. Otherwise, and I want you to be careful about that. We basically avoid cross-gender ministry here. And one of the reasons is the sequence of thing, a master, a mate, then the man and his mate, or the mate and her man, become the ministers in the body of Christ, and they do it as a couple. You understand? Okay. So the ministry is what we do with one another as manifold grace of God. And if you're going to speak to one another, as well you should, because a lot of ministry has to do with communication. Not all ministry does. We're going to see that in a moment. Well, let me quote it for you now. The very first verse in the book of Acts. Luke writing to Theophilus. And this is how he begins. These things began Jesus to do and teach. Ministry is doing and teaching. And the book of Acts is merely a continuation of what Jesus began to do and teach. You follow that? Okay. That's why the book of Acts opens. They are not really the acts of people. They are acts of the Holy Spirit through people doing and teaching, doing and saying the same things Jesus did and taught. So it's going to require, but God comes with us to give us a caution about the ministry to one another in the church. And here it is. It follows up. Here's Peter giving it to us. Minister to one another. It's two, one to another. That's how it's supposed to happen. Now it's going to involve speaking. Now if a man speak, if you're going to speak to one another, let him speak as the oracles of God. That is, what you are going to give somebody isn't a discussion about the football game 2 weeks ago. You're going to give them God stuff. Ministering to the body isn't calling up and talking about the weather. You want to start with the weather? Fine. You want to get though to the weather inside. Ministry has to do with speaking to one another what God wants said. God wants each other built up. So speak as the oracle of God, as the spokesperson for God. Say what God wants said to that person. Say it in the way that God wants it said to that person. All right? And that's what this ministry is about. When two couples get together, or two families get together, and ministry to one another is taking place, speak that which is from God. Not only that, but if any man, up here is what you say, down here is what you do. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to him be praise and dominion forever and ever. All right. Now, this is an interesting thing Paul says when he's writing to the Colossian church. Archippus. Doesn't appear to be doing ministry. So Paul says, take heed. To the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord that thou fulfill it. Take heed. Look at this. Take heed that you fulfill it. What does God want you to minister to fellow Christians, especially those these of the household of faith? What of your gift does he want you to focus and expend upon one another? Take heed. This advice to Archippus is equally good tonight for everyone. Take heed that you fulfill it. This is why the body is so weak and anemic. Because we're not spending enough time ministering to one another. I understand ministering to your family, and I'm glad you do that. And if you're not, you better. Because if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own household, he's denied the faith. He's worse than men to death. But outside our family, in the body of Christ here, are you fulfilling your ministry to one another? Take heed that you fulfill it. Now, in order to help us fulfill it, I want to take you to this passage of Scripture, which is becoming one of my favorites. And I'm memorizing this, but it's not easy. I get lost in this all the time. I will have it soon. But let's look at this passage. As you minister to one another, don't give any offense in anything. Because if you do, the ministry will get the blame. You follow that? So in ministering to one another, you want to be careful that you don't offend one another. So the ministry be not blamed. But in all that you do with one another, you do it in such a way as to approve yourself as the minister of God. And now watch. This is why it's hard to memorize. Number one, with patience. You've got to do this with patience. Don't expect everything to happen on your first visit, on your first telephone call. You are one another's projects. And the give and take from and to one another is to take place over a duration of time. It's not a one-shot phone call, get it over with. It's caring about one another and ministering to one another in patience. It's maintaining the ministry even if you are under affliction. No matter what kind of affliction that is, don't let it deter you from ministering. Even though you have things you have to do, necessities, don't let the necessities stop you from ministering to one another. And here probably is where we need the most attention. Because most of us have chosen paths and patterns that occupy the bulk of our waking hours. And it's this thing, you know, people think if I had my own business, I'd be free. But you know what happens? Usually a business ends up running them. They don't run the business. Your job can run you instead of you running your job. The family can run you instead of you running the family. It gets out of control. Everything seems necessary, though. We fill it up. And the stuff that we've filled it up with, we believe to be necessary. And this scripture comes along to make it very clear that we don't want to give offense, and that we want to we want to approve ourselves as ministers of God, even though we have things necessary that we have to do. They cannot stop the ministry. I'm trying to read your faces. I guess I won't. It'll be easier to keep going. In distresses. In times of great pressure. It could be financial distress. It cannot be allowed to stop ministry. The stresses come in great varieties of ways, not just financial. Stress and distress, but ministry must go on. I don't know who this applies to here. When it was written for the New Testament believers, they often got their 39 stripes. In fact, in the very early church, it was unusual to find someone who wasn't beaten on a regular basis. And God's saying, don't let the beatings you take stop you from the ministry to one another. Because if they can beat it out of us, then we all fall and we all fail, because we need one another. And the intercourse between fellow believers within a given grouping of saints is so imperative that even beatings cannot stop the ministry. And imprisonments, not too common to us here today in America. But let me tell you something. These scriptures are as in vogue today in some parts of the Christian world as they were in the New Testament days. Did you know that this year over 160,000 Christians will be martyred for their faith on this planet? Today, 2004. Even if you're imprisoned, you cannot stop the ministry. And we got such great illustrations of it, don't we, in the book of Acts? We got angels undoing the gates and loosening the chains, and we got jailers getting saved. And tumults. You know what tumults are. You know what tumultuous means. It means tempestuous. It means everything is out of control all around. We cannot stop ministry to one another. I know you have a job. I know you have labor to do, hours of the day and days of the week. But we approve ourselves as the ministers of God. We keep on ministering in spite of our jobs. Cannot let our job stop the ministry. In times of high alert, in watchings, in fastings, the ministry must go on. You fast for 3 days. I know I was, we don't talk much about fasting as well. We should, we need to. And fasting is definitely a time, you understand what fasting is. Prayer and fasting are opposite sides of the same coin. Prayer is laying hold of heaven. Fasting is letting go of earth. Fasting is letting go of food, newspapers, television viewing, and a host of other things in order to more effectively pursue heaven. There are two parts of the seeking of God. Seeking of God and the letting go of that which would hinder the seeking of God. And Paul said he was in fastings often. The early church fasted 2 days a week, every week. But it can't stop ministry to one another. We've got prayers to pray over one another. We've got promises of God to deliver to one another. We've got encouragements to give. We've got deeds of kindness to help one another. We have lots to do for one another. Nothing can stop this from occurring. And my friends, tonight I ask you in the intimacy of this Wednesday night gathering, which of the things on this list have stopped you from ministering to one another? Then, repent, and let's get busy loving one another. Amen. Now, this same verse says not just to keep on ministering in this, but it tells us how to. You want to minister, number one, by pureness. You want to minister by pureness. You want to minister with a pure motive. You want to minister with the pureness of your gift. In other words, don't mix other stuff in with it, because that's what the opposite to being pure is. You get pure cocaine, there's no mix in it. Been cut a few times, it's not pure anymore. It's a lousy illustration, isn't it? Pure water. Hello, Al. You want to minister to one another by pureness. Keep every other motive out of this except the good of the other person. That's what love is. Love is choosing the highest good of another person without personal profit as the motive. So minister by pureness. Be informed by knowledge. Not mentally lax. Put some thought into your ministry. In fact, go to the scriptures so that you get the kind of data that you need. Minister by knowledge. Now, ministering to one another is going to require suffering. Going to be suffering because you're going to have to give up time that you think something else should be in the slot. That's going to cause some suffering. You're going to have to suffer because the person may not be as receptive to you giving to them as you are. They may not be as receptive as you are willing to give to them. So what are you going to do? Let that stop you? Why not? Because the very first characteristic listed in the 13th chapter of Corinthians about love is what? It suffers. Now let's get this. This is a really important text. Love suffers long. Now watch this, because these phrases, the phraseology in the 13th chapter is very important. The phrasing. Watch that. Love suffers long and is kind. Back to the one who's the cause of the suffering. And ministry costs that. Misunderstanding. You might have to suffer that. You might have to suffer being turned down for the opportunity to minister. You might have to suffer because the other person isn't as ready to receive as you are ready to give. But we are to minister not only during all the things that were listed previously, but we're supposed to do it by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, and by kindness. Let your ministry to one another, let it be fully flavored with kindness. Brotherly. Love. And let your ministry be by the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit be involved in the ministry. Because that will make the right kind of space for higher potential. It creates the right kind of space for the supernatural. It creates the right amount of space for the leadership of God. It creates an amount of space for the wisdom of God to enter in by the Spirit, minister by the Spirit. And then by love. Unpretended love. Don't try to fake love. Minister to one another. Listen to Peter. Peter's so good at this. Chapter 4. Peter says, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Be sober. Watch unto prayer. But above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity covers multitude of sins. This covering sin is not cover up sin. It means, you know, I get an airplane in Jacksonville, I get out in Atlanta, I cover, how many miles is that? How many? A lot. I covered a lot of miles. It means I got over a lot of miles. You understand? That's what love does. Love gets over a multitude of sins to reach the person on the other side. Because those who deserve love the least need it the most. It's the nature of love. So don't try to fake, trick love. Minister by love and fame. Minister by the word of truth. Don't try to deposit a whole chapter in somebody. If you've got one phrase for them, you know why? Because one phrase out of this book is sufficient to alter the course. Do you understand the power of this? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because this is seed. If I had some acorns here and passed them out and I let you all stare at an acorn for 5 minutes and I ask you, what can you see inside this acorn? Some of you might come up with, I can see a tree. Some of you might see a forest. Some of you might see a city. It's inside. I'm telling you, there's power in this stuff. One phrase, I remember going through big, tough times, lots of times. Whenever you're going through a tough time, use it as a signal to get in here to get an answer. And you start off, thumbing through the pages, and I turn them over. And I come to that Psalm 31, and I start reading it. I read 9 words. 9 words. The average word has 5 letters in it. And all it says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Oh, my goodness. I memorized it in less than 15 seconds. You didn't. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. And I went to school. That was my first year as a Christian. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. I sat in class. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. I walked home saying, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. I went to bed that night saying, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. I got up in the morning saying, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. If I get up in the middle of the night, I was saying, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. And in just one short week, one phrase of Scripture transformed me from a loser to a truster. From depression, it was like I had a resurrection. Such is the power. So as you minister, minister by word of truth. Just a word of truth. Do it by the power of God. More about that later. Do it by the arm of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Yeah, I don't know if I should get into this one because it might take too long. I already thought I'd be done 30 minutes ago. By honor and dishonor, it does not matter if you are being honored or dishonored. We keep on ministering. by evil report and good report. If somebody's carrying an evil report about you, it doesn't matter. We minister by evil report or by good report. Doesn't matter what anybody's saying about us. Can't let us stop the ministry. They may think you're deceivers, call you deceivers, and yet we minister as deceivers, and yet we know we're true. Let me go quickly. As unknown, and yet well known. As dying, but behold, we live. As chastened, but not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Can't stop the joy. Big difference between happiness and joy. You can buy lots of books on how to be happy. Spend $5 here, $20 here, you get happy for a few minutes. But joy doesn't blow away. As poor, we minister as poor. We might even not have much money, but we are making many people rich by this ministry. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Well, let's get on to the mission, see if I can get to the landing here. A man must have a master, then a mate, then be in the ministry to one another, and then he's made for a mission. You might ask, well, why don't we just skip the ministry part and go straight to the mission? When I was a boy in my father's church, he had a slogan I have never forgotten. And one of the things my father did was to bring a full-size searchlight to the church. Now, this is back in the days when we didn't have these rentals down the street where you can get them to advertise your business. This is a serious searchlight. My dad taught for a week or five, I can't remember how long, on light. Took the church outdoors at night. Had it turned on in sanctuary, too, in my recollection, from this day. Well, this was the week. This was one of the lessons my dad taught for a week. The light that shines farthest shines brightest at home. The farther the light is able to shine, the brighter it is back at its source. You got it? That's why a man is to let his light so shine. With his spouse, and his family, with his children, in the local body of Christ. Because the light that just want to shine out there, but forget here. Of what? So that's why we have the ministry. It's like we practice on each other, right? And now we're going to go outside to minister. And when we do, we want to go with the message of Jesus. Here, I was that scripture I quoted moments ago. These things Jesus began, both. Ministry is two aspects to it, something you do and something you teach. He went about doing good and healing all the oppressed. Now, we go with the message of Jesus. Look at what he says. As my Father has sent me, that's how I'm sending you. Same way he sent me here, I'm sending you. Secondly, we need to go in the power of the Spirit. Watch this now. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, look at now, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive power, fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at another verse. Jesus came spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We're to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then as we go on this mission, we're to go there and we are to explain to them the things of God. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me. And now he's saying, I want you to go, therefore, and I want you to explain. I want you to go teach. Not just go and explain, but go to all nations. This word is ethnos, which we get ethnic. We're to go with the message of Jesus in the power of the Spirit. We're to go there explaining the things of God, teach them. And we are not to limit by color or race or ethnos or people grouping. In fact, it's one of the most interesting books I've ever read is book put out that lists all the people, unreached people groups of the world. You'd be shocked how many are in America. There are whole cultures. For example, the racetracks. There are people who 24/7 are at racetracks. That's an unreached people group. Nothing happening there to reach that people group. So, go to all the ethnos and baptize them. You baptize them. You've been to a baptismal service here in this church? I don't do very much of it. We have mistakenly designated baptisms to be done by the minister, pastor. Well, you talk to the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember that story? Remember the Holy Spirit said to Philip, join yourself to that chariot. Now this guy is driving a chariot, and while he's driving, he's got his Bible open to Isaiah chapter 53. Now those horses must have been doing good without. I don't know how many times he looked up, cracked the whip, whatever he did. But while he was thus engaged, Philip jumps on the chariot, sits down beside him, and explained what Isaiah 53 was about. Told him, preached unto him what? And what is this? Jesus. And he stopped the chariot and said, well, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Well, you have to call a Sunday meeting to have that happen. You can't get baptized here. I'm not a pastor. What is this idea that the sacraments got moved from we the people to them, the whatever they are. I don't know. Go baptize them. Baptize them. Can't spend any more time. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, go and teach. Teach the commands of Christ. Look at the next verse. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Whatever the commands of Jesus are, that's the essential message we need to teach them when we get there, the commands. Watch this, because it's really simple. Last point. Because if you go, He will be with you. Look at this. Here's the mission. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end." Oh. A master, a mate, a ministry, a mission. And dear brothers and sisters, that's what we're here for. That's my version of chapter 36, 37. Thank you. I really thought I was going to be done 40. I thought, man, this is sitting there 7 minutes. Yeah, I can do this, this. I'll look through that. They don't call it the everlasting gospel for nothing, do they, doctor? Father, I ask you now to bless this people. Oh, my Lord, for these are yours. And with the greatest care of honor and of respect, I stand before them as a servant and as your servant, asking you to bless us. Make us more like you, Master, in all that we do, all we say. Give us a passion, not only for you, certainly that first, but then for one another. A care for one another that extends and is not blocked by all the things we listed tonight.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.